The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Very good morning. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Grey Cues. There's plenty to come over the next few hours as usual, including the gardening slot with Paul McLaughlin coming up a bit later. So make sure to get any questions you have for Paul in ahead of that. You can call 074 91 25000 or text or WhatsApp at 086 60 25000. You can also email comments at highlandradio.com and feel free to watch along as well as the show is streamed live on our social media channels. We're going to begin, though, with a look at today's papers and starting with the locals. The Tyrconnell Tribune, President can give power back to councils, according to Peter Casey, is the headline there. That is the view of, that is the vision that Peter Casey will bring to the office of the presidency as he continues to develop his strategy for election. He's now seeking nominations from four county councils in a bid to have his name on the ballot paper for the election that is likely to take place on October the 26th. He would like to think that councillors in Lifford will back his nomination. Mr Casey is putting forward innovative proposals and he says the president can become involved with communities in a non-political way by attending meetings of county councils. He said the president's office can empower the people and the country is in urgent need of that kind of motivation at the moment. Peter Casey, he is determined. I'm not sure if... not entirely sure how the office of the president works, but you know, he discusses attending council meetings and things like that. You know, I don't know, is that how the office works? But I suppose his manifesto is that he wants to make a difference and give more power back to the people. And this is, I think, the second time that Peter Casey is running in the presidential election, and he did come second in 2018 to Michael D. Higgins. So I suppose he has the confidence that he will hopefully get a good share of the vote. So we'll see come October or whenever the election will be held. And, you know, he has run in general and European elections as well in recent times. So he's well used to the campaign. So we'll see how that goes for him. The Donegal News now, Palestinian families' relocation to Letterkenny to go ahead next week. So six Palestinian families' relocation to Donegal is to go ahead as planned after concerns regarding access to adequate healthcare in Letterkenny delayed their move from Dublin on Monday. The critically ill children who arrived in Ireland through a government medical evacuation programme last year were due to have already been relocated to Donegal by the Irish Red Cross. However, the Irish Times reported the planned move was delayed following concerns raised by their mothers that they would not receive adequate healthcare in Letterkenny. And we did discuss this earlier in the week that, you know, it was concerning that that's what they thought of the healthcare here in Donegal. However, though, a spokesperson for the Irish Red Cross has confirmed to the Donegal News that the relocation is to go ahead, but it has been delayed until next week. The move is going ahead, the Irish Red Cross say. We just give them a little bit more time to reassure them of any concerns they have. Their medical team has confirmed that it is absolutely safe for them to move, the spokesperson said. So that's good and restores a bit of faith that... you know, we don't know what the view of what their exact concerns were relating to that healthcare, but they're to be moved to Donegal now next week. The Irish Times now. US President Donald Trump has admitted Russian leader Vladimir Putin is unlikely to heed his appeal to stop targeting civilians and end the war in Ukraine at their meeting in Alaska tomorrow. After a video conference with European leaders yesterday, which Mr. Trump said he would rate a 10, he renewed his threat of severe consequences unless Mr. Putin agreed a ceasefire and an end to civilian deaths. In talks in Berlin yesterday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said the US leader had agreed to a key demand from Kyiv for post-war security guarantees and a ceasefire as part of a deal to end a 3.5-year conflict. That article is accompanied by a very solemn-looking Volodymyr Zelensky picture there. And you'll remember that train crash interview with Volodymyr Zelensky and Donald Trump in the White House earlier this year. And I'm sure then when he sees the support and Donald Trump's efforts to get Putin to end the war, you know, and Putin just seems, you know, nothing appears to be deterring him at the minute. So it's, I suppose he just doesn't see light at the end of the tunnel, or he gets that light at the end of the tunnel and it's quickly swept from under him again. The Irish Daily Mirror: Simon Harris has agreed to meet the mother of the late Harvey Morrison Sherrett in the near future. It was confirmed yesterday. We'll be speaking a little bit more about this on the show shortly as well. This is understood to have been the first contact the Taoiseach has made with the family of 9-year-old Harvey, who suffered from scoliosis since his death was announced on July the 29th. Mr Harris has also sought a full multidisciplinary report on the timeline of care provided to Harvey. It comes as he is under further pressure to resign following the death of tragic Harvey. He was left waiting years for vital back surgery, and it's just so sad. I probably said this yesterday, that you know, the child at the centre of this, and just the delays that many people and many families are encountering out there as well. The Sun, the headline there is, "We don't want another family ripped apart over car crash." Ronan Keating has demanded stronger punishments for fatal road crash offences after the driver responsible for his brother's death escaped jail. The Boys Own Singer's sibling, Kieran Keating, aged 57, died in a horrific car crash in July 2023 near Swinford, County Mayo. The dad of three was on his way to his son's football match at the time of the collision. Now the Keating family say they've been left scarred by a broken system. Dean Hart pleaded guilty to a careless driving and was handed a 17-month suspended sentence last February. Hart, 22, was also found guilty of careless driving, causing serious injury to Kieran's wife, Anne-Marie, who has been left with life-altering injuries. The Director of Public Prosecutions says that it will not appeal the sentence imposed on Hart, whose letter of apology was rejected by Kieran's relatives. So many families will feel the same, and you do hear time and time again that the sentences aren't tough enough, and I know so many factors have to be taken into consideration, but just to think that, you know, the Keating family will carry this grief with them through the rest of their lives. And further on the article, Kieran Keating's son discusses how, you know, his mum as well regularly attends hospital appointments, and, you know, he's lost his dad and he's coping then with, I don't know if he cares for his mum, but, you know, seeing what kind of pain she's in now, and to think that, you know, ultimately they felt that Kieran's life was worth 17 months, and then to have that suspended, it just doesn't bear thinking about the effect that has on the family. The Irish Daily Mail now: the number of new electric cars licensed so far this year has jumped by 34% compared with the first 7 months of 2024. New figures from the Central Statistics Office show petrol and diesel motors now make up less than half of the new cars being purchased in Ireland. Up to the end of July, 17,075 new private electric cars were licensed in 2025, just over a third more than the 12,765 licensed in the same period in 2024. The CSO figures also showed a 64% rise in electric vehicles being registered in July 2025 compared to the same month last year. That's a huge jump. I know for a time that the number of electric vehicle car sales did slow, but that's a huge jump. And given, you know, be not good to see where exactly those cars are being sold, because in the likes of Donegal, you know, we've talked about it time and time again that the infrastructure just isn't here for it. And even if you're coming from Dublin and you're travelling along the route and coming to Donegal, you know, there's just not enough infrastructure in place along the route as well. The Irish Independent: we work 2.5 hours fewer a week than before the COVID pandemic hit. More people are at work than ever before, but productivity is dropping as employees are doing fewer hours than before COVID, according to the Department of Finance officials. So the average time worked fell by almost 2.5 hours a week, from around 33.5 hours a week pre-COVID to 31.2 hours. The drop has been greater among those with remote and hybrid working arrangements than those who are office or site-based. But other factors, including more comfortable incomes that allow people to place more value on their work-life balance, could also have resulted in the trend. I know it's not an awful lot when you space that out, 2.5 hours a week isn't an awful lot at all. I would personally find it difficult to work from home continuously with no opportunity to go out and be able to meet people. But some people, it really does suit. But are you one of those? Do you find that if you're working from home that your productivity has decreased? Do you think that, you know, there's nobody constantly looking over your shoulder, that if a task doesn't be completed today and it's not time sensitive, then it's fine to tomorrow? The Irish Daily Star: Europe's record-breaking heatwave could hit 44 degrees as it fuels extreme wildfires raging in some regions popular with tourists. At least three people have died, with thousands displaced, as blazes spread and temperatures soaring above 40 degrees. Fire crews have fought flames in parts of Greece, Portugal, Spain and Turkey. Spain's weather service said temperatures could peak at 44 degrees, while southern Portugal could also face that high. Red heat alerts in parts of Italy, France, Spain, Portugal and the Balkans warned of significant risks to health. Them wildfires, I just, you know, I love the heat, and the weather here is absolutely beautiful. And you do have to be grateful sometimes that we live where we live, whenever you see fires like that. I know then the dry spell does give risk to gorse fires, but the wildfires just seem so uncontrollable. And you see the videos on social media, it's so frightening for tourists in those areas. You know, they might wake up in the morning or be wakened in the middle of the night and told that they need to evacuate the area. And some of them are doing so when the smoke's already filling the air and they can't see 2 feet in front of them. And it's such an unfamiliar area for them to try and navigate as well. The Irish Farmers Journal: gun clubs support farmers over illegal trespassing. Changes to the law around trespassing must be carefully considered, but action is needed to address trespassing and illegal hunting, the vice chair of the National Association of Regional Game Councils says. Dan Curley says that NARGC members have attended farmer meetings on the issue right around the country and actively support farmers and Gardaí in efforts to safeguard wildlife and livestock from illegal activity trespassing. I'm sure many farmers will welcome that. The changes envisaged will be specifically targeted at groups of individuals who bring hunting dogs onto farmland without permission and would not impact people such as hill walkers or gun club members who will only enter lands in a responsible manner and at an appropriate time. I didn't know that that did happen. I thought that, you know, it would be pre-arranged, but I suppose, yeah, the fear is that if livestock is attacked in that manner. So many farmers will no doubt be welcoming that. That's all that's in the papers for the time being.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
The time is now 20 past nine. Now, the name Harvey Morrison Sherrett has been in the headlines. Unfortunately, the nine-year-old died at the end of July. He had scoliosis and waited years to receive spinal surgery. Harvey's death has led to calls for Taoiseach Simon Harris to resign, as of course he was health minister when he declared that no child should have to wait more than 4 months for a scoliosis operation. NT leader Pádraig Tobin joins me now. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning, Michaela. How are you?
Good. So you are one of those obviously calling for Simon Harris to step aside over this.
Yeah. First of all, just my deepest sympathies to the family of Harvey. It's a disaster for any parent to lose a child. And in Harvey's particular situation, it's more heartbreaking because he suffered significantly in his short life. And he didn't receive the life-saving treatment that he needed in time. And I think it's just so heartbreaking to see a family go through so many years of fighting for treatment and then to lose their son in this manner. So, you know, you pointed at the start of the introduction that the former Minister for Health, Simon Harris, promised not only should every child receive the necessary operations within 4 months, he said every child would receive the operations within 4 months. And he actually said that the waiting lists were indefensible. And he says, we don't need more ministers who defend the indefensible. And that's exactly what the government is doing, because actually the waiting lists are not 4 months long. The waiting lists are well beyond that. There are hundreds of children on the waiting lists currently, many, some of them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. and many of them for up to 9 months. And actually, the situation is getting worse. And if you look at, in particular, Harvey's case, he waited 33 months for a scoliosis operation. Back in August 2022, he got a promise that he'd get the surgery. In March 23, he got a date. It was meant to happen in April 23. And then it was cancelled abruptly. And then he was actually taken off the waiting list, unbeknownst to the family. And nobody within CHI told the family that he was taken off the waiting list. And the curvature of his back had got to 130 degrees. And anything over 100 degrees curvature is actually a threat to life. And he suffered from outbreaks of pneumonia and other complications as a result of, you know, the crushing of his lungs by the spine. So I think that we have a situation here where a minister of a government who has oceans of resources at their fingertips, who are putting 8 billion euros away on an annual basis, has either refused to or has been unable to provide a proper health service for young children. And if you look at CHI, CHI is obviously the Children's Health Ireland, who's in charge of this area. That organisation is in complete dysfunction. Mm-hmm. That same organisation has found out to allowed for unauthorised springs to be put into children with scoliosis. It has allowed for children to receive hip operations without reaching the necessary threshold. Children, i.e. that didn't need the operations, were receiving operations. Reports have shown that there's a toxic work culture within CHI. And also reports have shown that there has been a potential misuse of state funding. So this is not the reason why children are not receiving these operations is not because it's impossible for it to happen. It's because the section of the HSE that's in charge of this is wallowing in dysfunction and has been allowed to do so by Minister Harris while he was Minister for Health, while he was Taoiseach, and while he is Taoiseach.
And what we're simply saying, Deputy Tobin, that there was any effort made on Simon Harris's behalf at the time, or was he met with roadblocks? Is that what the issue is?
See, my issue here is that ministers are not passengers of their bus, the departmental bus that they're on. Ministers are the drivers of the departmental bus. And you're right to say that there can be blockages in these situations. But one of the big problems in Irish politics and in the Irish civil service is the simple lack of accountability. So, for example, the CEO who was in charge of Children's Health Ireland during all this period, you would imagine that in an accountable situation, that CEO would have been fired from her job because of the fact that she didn't do her job properly. But that CEO is now in charge of actually transitioning the children's hospitals into the new National Children's Hospital. And, you know, one of the major problems is that nobody is ever held to account in this country. I had a senior member of the Department of Health, a person who had worked there for 40 years, in front of me in a finance committee there about a year and a half ago. And I asked that individual, with all the crises that have happened in the HSC and the Department of Health, in the 40 years that he had worked in that location, had he ever seen a person ever lose their job in terms of gross mistakes that were made? And he said he didn't. So, you know, in your business, in every private job across the country, if someone makes a mistake, there's a cost. And that cost keeps people in check. And people are more likely to do the job properly because they know that there'll be, you know, there could be a demotion, they mightn't get a pay rise, or they might even lose their job if they make a serious mistake. But the problem is there's a complete absence of that in the senior level of the civil service. And unless we actually crowbar accountability into the political system, my fear is that we're never going to see change at all in Ireland. And this is going to be repeated over and over again.
And there's so much hurt, not just within Harvey's family, but right across the country following his death. And, you know, there's so many calls for Simon Harris to resign in relation to that. And it was very sad that, you know, Harvey's mum, Gillian, said that she's now going to fight for other children. And that shouldn't have to be the case.
Yeah, so and I want to just pay tribute to Harvey's mother and her family, because, first of all, they have been enormously brave at a time of desperate grief. They have been also enormously measured in their engagements. And we have taken our lead from them. We haven't asked for anything that they haven't asked for. And yesterday, thankfully, they have received a phone call, I understand, from the Taoiseach that he will meet.
But isn't that a little too late?
Absolutely. Last September in the Dáil, I asked the Taoiseach, would he meet with the family? I raised this issue last September, and the Taoiseach didn't find the time to meet with the family. And you're right, Gillian and the family are campaigning to simply to make sure that this doesn't happen again to other children. And that's the key issue here. We need to make sure that we have a health service that does not fail children so radically over and over again. And that means there must be an overhaul of the system. We have written to the Cathaoirleach of the Health Committee and asked him to bring the Taoiseach before the committee so he can be grilled as to all the aspects that went wrong under his tenureship that led to the situation that we're in now. It doesn't have to be like this. It isn't the case that these are just, you know, continuous crises that happen in Irish society and, you know, nothing can be done about it. This can change, but one of the catalysts to that change, one of the most transformative elements that you can have, is the injection of accountability into the system. And that's why we think that, you know, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, should do the honourable thing here, be accountable and show leadership and resign from his position as Taoiseach.
And what would you say to people that would maybe argue that Simon Harris in his position as Taoiseach now in relation to this could make a bigger impact now and see changes rather than if he wasn't where he is?
My confidence in Simon Harris is on the floor, I'll be honest with you, in terms of the categoric promises that he made in 2017, saying that no child would go beyond 4 months for an operation. My confidence is on the floor because of the absolute dysfunction of CHI in terms of all the things that we've discussed. My confidence in Simon Harris on the floor on the basis that he signed the contract for the National Children's Hospital, and that is obviously years overdue, billions of euros over cost. And then he actually denied it live on television that he signed the actual contract itself. Like, this is a minister who has been at senior levels of government now for nearly 15 years in this country. And there is a trail of broken promises. There's a trail of dysfunction and there's a trail of heartbreak in his wake. And I think in that scenario, it is impossible to have confidence over any new promise that Simon Harris makes.
And the sad reality is that there are so many children that suffer with scoliosis like Harvey did, that, you know, they're watching this unfold now and they're on the waiting list too, and they just can't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
Look, it's shocking that we have a situation where we have well over 200 children currently on the waiting list for scoliosis operations. And yet, at the same time, we've potentially hundreds of children who didn't need hip operations, who actually had hip operations in this country. Like, it is so incredible that it's even hard to make up this type of situation, that you have a list of children on one hand that are desperately waiting for operations, who are in pain, who are suffering ill health, who are going through disability as a result of a lack of operation. And on the other hand, the same organisation is forcing operations on children who actually don't need them. Operations that are damaging to those children. Like, the level of dysfunction here is really hard to fathom and get your head around in this scenario. And I know for sure there are parents and children around the country who've seen what's happened and who will be in fear at the moment. This will rock the confidence of any family, you know, who are desperately seeking an operation currently. And, you know, I just think that we need to shake this government up. We just need to have a zero tolerance to this level of incompetence within government. You know, these are the loss of a child is the worst thing that can happen to a family. This is, you know, the most important thing that can, you know, the worst thing that can happen to a citizen in this country. And if we're not going to have a threshold of responsibility or accountability for this, what are we going to have a threshold for? And, you know, the key point is, if there's no accountability, there's no change. And we're cursed to wake up morning after morning, you know, to see the same crises arise over and over again.
And do you think that that 4-month target, that that is reasonable? Do you think there are enough resources in place to reach that target?
I think that a situation where you have a government that is squirreling away 8 billion euros on budget surpluses, that target is absolutely achievable. And there's a number of things that are happening. There's obviously, you know, there has been 9 reports and reviews written about CHI, believe it or not. And yet there is no consensus on how to implement the recommendations in those reports at the moment. But it's clear, first of all, that what needs to be done in CHI is there needs to be a radical reform of the organisation to make sure that it's functioning properly. The toxic work culture cannot be allowed anymore. There needs to be very clear and direct control over the staff within the CHI and over management. And there needs to be accountability. Those who haven't done their job need to lose their job at this stage. And also then we need to make sure that we bring another reform that AIM2 wants to bring into the health service, is that hospitals only get paid for the actual value that they bring to patients. And this is a radical reform that we're looking to bring about. You know, a business listening to your show will only get paid for the value that they bring to their customer. So they focus all the resources in bringing values to their customers. But right now, hospitals can get paid if they bring no value to patients. So hospitals should get paid on the basis of the operations that they carry out, the engagements, the treatments, every time they bring and help improve the health of somebody, that's how they get paid. And if they do that, they will reorientate the resources towards the patient, and they will stop all of the money getting lost in middle management and administration within the HSE. That's a reform that needs to be brought about as soon as possible. And you know, we need to have been pushing for that reform. And then we need to pay our doctors and nurses properly. Like, you know, we found out that 13,000 nurses left the country in the last 5 years. Some years, the majority of doctors are emigrating currently. The pay and conditions of people working in the health services on the floor. And, you know, we're not going to get the staff that we need unless we provide internationally competitive paying conditions.
And if Simon Harris does step down on this occasion, that's an example too. You've highlighted so many different issues there. That is an example that the government's not going to get away with, you know, a repeat of crisis like this continually rising.
If Simon Harris steps down, if we introduce accountability into the political system in this country, it would be transformative. It would radically change the way the politics and the political apparatus works in this country. There's no doubt about that. It would be a new day. Literally, you would have a situation whereby the cost of not doing a person's job, the cost of making serious mistakes, the cost of, you know, wasting money would be so great that it would reduce those behaviours significantly. It would change those behaviours significantly. And people often ask me, say, well, listen, if you introduce, you know, serious accountability into the public system, into the civil service, which the whole situation would grind to a halt. Nobody would be able to make a decision at all because everybody would be worried about making a decision. But that's not the case, because everybody else lives with the same level of accountability in every other job in the country and manages to do that job, do it properly, and to do it without, you know, having a paralysis of decision making as well. So this is not a new, you know, accountability is not a new idea. It's an idea that everybody else in the country lives with, except those in senior politics and senior civil service.
Deputy Patrick O'Bean, AIM2 leader, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And no doubt that is a conversation that will continue. And as I said earlier, sadly, it's a very sad case that it has taken the death of Harvey Morrison Sherrett to once again call into question. Well, I know it's called into question many times how the government operates, but it's just so sad to see a child again at the centre of this. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Some of your comments coming in relation to the previous discussion. Surely the question is more about how the health service, specifically Children's Health Ireland, handled Harvey's case, particularly regarding his placement on and removal from the waiting list. Deputy Pádraig Tobin did say that there needs to be a complete review of Children's Health Ireland, and that has previously been called for as well. It's the same old, we have no money or staff to do operations. We have to stop the brain drain in this country. We are training highly skilled people who are leaving here to other countries for better pay and conditions. And another listener says a key point of contention is the claim that Simon Harris failed to meet with Harvey's parents after their case was raised in the Dáil. The parents claim they were promised a meeting that never happened. This is seen by many as a failure of engagement and accountability, especially given the gravity of their son's situation. I'm joined now on the show by Bernard McGuinness, who is manager at Foyle Coaches in Redcastle. Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning, Michaela. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. So unfortunately, Bernard, this isn't the first time that you've been speaking out in relation to local link services having to be suspended for the day. What was the situation yesterday?
The situation yesterday, as we all know, it was a beautiful day. Again, at Shrove Beach, along a narrow road, cars were parked, or should I say, abandoned, on both sides of the road, which meant that, again, our services couldn't get through, and we had to suspend all services to Shrove. Now, I would like to say from the outset that we use Facebook Foyle Coaches as contracted by Local Link to provide the service.
Mm-hmm.
We use Facebook to inform our passengers of any changes or delays that are going on, and it's a very effective method for us because most people seem to be on Facebook and get the message that there's a disruption to service. People comment then on these posts that we put up just as informative posts. People are commenting on them and blaming the guards and blaming the council and blaming everybody. To be perfectly honest, there's only one set of people to blame here, and that's the people who drive those cars that are abandoned around Shrove.
Yeah.
It's not the guards' fault, it's not the council's fault. The responsibility must lie with the individuals who abandon their cars and block the road.
And Bernard, how many passengers would have been affected by this yesterday?
It's very hard to say.
Yeah. But it's a busy enough route,
is it? On a good day like that, we collect... It is, yeah. Oh, it is a busy route. There's two routes, you see. There's a route going from Greencastle around Shrove to Letterkenny, and there's the other one going around Shrove to Derry. So it varies from day to day, and we are seeing over the last year or two a lot of people using the service actually coming down towards Shrove to go to the beach,
okay,
which is
yeah.
great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We did have one instance yesterday. I saw a comment on Facebook where we delivered a passenger to the beach early in the day, and then they couldn't get home, and they had small children, and they had to walk from Shrove to Greencastle.
My God.
You know, so that's...
Yeah, so people are being abandoned then because of the actions of others.
Yeah. Our service from Letterkenny, the one that leaves Letterkenny at 12:30 in the day, came down yesterday, and when you go down the upper road towards Shrove, you're going down the hill, and you have to go on around the last bend, let's say, to see what's there.
Okay.
And the driver went on around the bend and discovered he couldn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had to reverse a coach then about, I'm going to say, 40 to 50 yards around a bend to get turned, and the cars were piling up behind him, and it was a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, imagine.
And only for his skill as a driver and his patience, you know, there could have been a handling. He got turned eventually, but that meant then that he couldn't finish the route. So we had to take the decision then to cancel all services around Shrove for the rest of the day until about 7 o'clock in the evening.
And I know you mentioned that it's not the fault of Gardaí or Donegal County Council there earlier, but do you think that they do have a role to play in this, particularly, you know, if they know it's going to be a busy day at the beach like yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a roads engineer. I don't know what the solution is. You know, you would think that maybe double yellow lines on both sides of the road, or its narrowest, would be an option. Then perhaps the garage would have the wherewithal to issue tickets or something.
Mm-hmm.
As it is now, there's no markings, so people believe they can park wherever they like. You know.
Yeah.
as I say, I'm not a roads engineer, Michaela. I don't know what the solution is, but it's a bad situation at the moment, especially, you know, on a sunny day.
Yeah. Councillor Martin McDermott, Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, joins me as well. Good morning, Councillor.
Good morning, Michaela.
So, Councillor McDermott, what do you believe is the solution, or is there a solution here?
Well, I suppose, as Bernard has said, there's no easy solution. About a number of weeks ago, I had been contacted by Local Link, by Fiona O'Shea, the Divisional Manager for Local Link in Donegal and Sligo, and I had a number of conversations with both the Gardaí and with the Sergeant in Letterkenny, who has responsibilities for community policing and roads policing. I also had a number of conversations with the roads engineers, and we do realise that something needs to be done there. I think Bernard's right that there's a responsibility here, and the first responsibility is with the people that's driving those cars. They have a responsibility to park in places that are not causing obstruction. But I do think that, you know, as a council, we do need to have a look at what we can do out there to alleviate this problem, because we can't keep on going where there's a local bus route, bringing people to work, bringing people to different places that have to be there, hospital appointments and different things, and then kind of get around there. There's also the situation that emergency services, what happens if an emergency service needs to get around there, if someone takes a heart attack, and that is another situation that thankfully hasn't occurred yet, but could occur at any minute. So look, next week I intend to meet with the roads engineers to have a discussion about what we as a council could do. Now, Bernard talked about double yellow lines. That is a possibility, that we could put double yellow lines there, and maybe start issuing tickets and stuff like that. But the problem is always there as well with tickets, and we all know the cross-border element to tickets doesn't always work either. So I think we have to put our heads together and get a resolution to this, because we can't keep on every day that the sun shines that the buses can't get around Struve. I think that's unacceptable.
And this is an issue, you know, we're talking about Struve this time in the beach there, but we see so many times people parking in on slipways, at piers, where, you know, they're blocking the RNLI from accessing services. But although yellow boxes are in place in those areas, there just seems to be still, you know, that cohort of people that ignore that. So what can be done in relation to that?
Well, look, I suppose there's a cohort of people that ignores everything that we go to do, and, you know, that's difficult to police. It's difficult for the Gardaí to be everywhere. It's difficult for the council to have bylaws in all areas that can cure that problem. You know, at different beaches, at different times, let it be, you know, Struve, let it be Kildaff, let it be Kinnegal, let it be wherever. We do have situations where there's a large volume of traffic. But I suppose like Kildaff and other areas, the roads are a lot wider and people can get parked and people can get access through. The issue with Struve is that road is just about big enough just to take the bus through on its own, and cars would have to pull in even to let the bus pass. So that doesn't facilitate the buses and traffic being on that road. So we do have to look at what we can do as a council to see, can we help alleviate that problem?
And is there signage up in the area as well?
I don't think there's any signage there at the minute, but it is something that we are going to meet next week on to see, you know, could double yellow lines suit? Is there another possibility of extra parking at Struve? You know, there's maybe a number of things that we do have to look at to see what we can do. But as I was going to say, predominantly, this comes down to the drivers. The drivers have to take a bit of responsibility here. And people are just abandoning cars wherever they want. And, you know, that's totally unacceptable.
And Bernard, is that comforting that this issue is being taken seriously? Because, you know, yourselves are providing a service and you can't constantly be met with this issue.
Well, to be honest, we are being constantly met with this issue. This has been going on for summers as far back as I can remember.
Right.
You know, it's just going on, and every time that it's discussed on Highland Radio or discussed on Facebook, somebody says, oh, we're looking at it. It hasn't been looked at. Well, if it has been looked at, it certainly hasn't manifested into any action on the ground. There's absolutely no signage in the area about parking, none at all. People are even parking on the small bridge above the car park one evening last week where there was a handling.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems that there's no action coming from anybody, and that's, you know, we need to get something done.
And could it get to a stage, Bernard, where you simply can't facilitate this service?
Well, I mean, it happened yesterday. It happened
that the ridge could be cut?
Of good weather. Well, we're not responsible for the actual decision of cutting routes. Mm. That's up to Local Link. We're just a contractor hired in. But yes, it could get to that stage where, you know, we're using large wheelchair accessible vehicles and they need space to operate. And the road is good enough normally for our vehicles. There's no issue with that. But on a sunny day, when cars park on both sides of the road, we can't operate. The Local Link, I'm sure, will take a decision on that, whether the route gets cut or not. But, you know, that's where we stand at the minute.
Councillor McDermott, how long do you think, if the WL lines were proposed? We unfortunately see so many issues raised with the council, and it does take quite a time to get measures implemented. Would you be hopeful that something could be done quite quickly here?
Yeah, but I think, you know, double yellow lines mightn't just cure the problem either right away, because double yellow lines will have to be, there'll have to be someone there enforcing that, you know, on a constant basis. And I suppose the situation we have with Gardaí at the minute, they can't be everywhere. They're stretched as it is. So I think we need to all get our heads together, both the Gardaí, the council and Local Link, and see what solution that we can come up with. And particularly now in the short term, I suppose, the next few months, as August and September goes out, there'll probably be less of amount of traffic there. But it is something that needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be matured that, you know, over the next year or two, that we can't, no point putting on a bus service, a new bus route, if the buses can't get round. So I think we all have to get our heads together on this and get it a resolution, because it's unfair to Bernard and all the bus drivers that they're coming to this situation far too regularly, and there has to be an outcome coming out of this.
And is there any room, I'm unfamiliar of the exact road myself, but is there any room to install bollards or anything there?
Well, there is room to do that, to put bollards around them, those corners. That is something that we did discuss a couple of weeks back with the engineer, both engineers, council engineers, but we're not sure that's going to be the right resolution either for it. But as I say, the senior engineer for the show was in Haldish for a few weeks there. They're all back now. Something that we're going to do is meet next week and have a look at how we can get a resolution to this.
Yeah. Councillor Martin McDermott.
Yeah, you need to,
go on ahead, Bernard.
Yeah. Sorry, Michaela. Yeah. I mean, there needs to be a site meeting. There needs to be people to go to the site, go to the area and look at it and decide, make a decision, what is the best solution? You know, we hear we're not sure about the best solution and all that, but the decision must be made and something must be done. I'm not sure what that is. It's not my remit to say what that is. But something needs to be done urgently, as opposed to, oh, we'll have a meeting next week and somebody was on holidays for a couple of weeks. You know, this is going on for years.
Yeah, well, to be fair, no, Bernard, this was brought by Local Link to my attention about 3 weeks ago, and we have had a number of conversations. I've had a number of conversations with the Gardaí and with the council. They are trying to get a resolution to this. It's not something that it's going to be that simple that we're just going to have a resolution tomorrow morning. There'll be, you know, things will have to go through the council to get, if there has to go double yellow lines down, if there has to go bollards down, if there has to go extra parking, whatever we have to do. But I think we will meet on site, and I think we will bring Local Link as part of that, and if that's that yourselves, Bernard, as well, there's no problem in that. You can be part of that meeting. We'll hopefully have that sorted out by next week. I'm actually off for a few days this week. So,
but yeah, I suppose obviously what Bernard's saying, that, you know, there does need to be a commitment, and it is a time sensitive matter.
Yeah, that's no problem.
It's definitely a time sensitive matter. The summer's nearly over this year again, and this is, I think, the third or fourth disruption that we've had this year again. You know, there's a lot of effort put into getting these routes up and running, enhancing the routes from Northwest Busway's time when Local Link came in. The people are delighted with the service. It's a very comprehensive service. and it's been interrupted.
No, it is, by
you know.
Well, hopefully we will get that meeting,
That was really badly needed and something that a lot of us put a lot of work into to try and, push to get Inishowen the service it deserves. And we have a fantastic bus service here in Inishowen, there's no question about that. But these problems do need to be resolved. And hopefully when we get everyone together on site, that we can get a resolution to this.
Councillor Martin McDermott, Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, thank you for joining us this morning. And Bernard, I understand your frustration and hopefully that meeting, as I was saying, sometimes in the council things do take so long, so hopefully that meeting will be done now in the near future. I hear you giggling at me there.
sorry about that.
But yeah,
all these public decisions just seem to take an awful long amount of time, you know.
And just, you know, as Councillor McDermott was saying, it is such a great service, and you know, it's great to have so many people visiting the area and so many people that want to enjoy, you know, the lovely beaches here in the county. And, you know, speaking of that woman that you were saying was abandoned, you know, it's just, that's not good enough.
It's not, you see, you know, I mean, there's nobody wants to see the beaches full more than me.
Mm.
It's great to see people out and about and it's great in the good weather, and the service is being used by the local people and by visitors going to the beach. You know, it's great to see the numbers increasing in the service all the time.
Mm.
But it's just an issue like this kind of demeans the whole service, if you know what I mean, you know.
Yeah. Bernard, thank you so much for joining us again this morning. That is Bernard McGuinness, manager at Foyle Coaches in Redcastle. And hopefully there is a resolution to that shortly and we don't have to speak to Bernard in that capacity again. Councillor Martin Farn says he's been in touch with the council also and the Gardaí are currently working with them to resolve the issue.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, a mix of cloud and sunny spells with some scattered showers. Some of them will be heavy. Drier conditions will gradually extend this evening and highest temperatures today of 19 to 24 degrees. Now, don't forget our first draw of the Mega Summer Draw will be taking place tomorrow. Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw, you can win €20,000 in cash. So you will be in with five chances to win big. Every Friday from tomorrow until the 5th of September, we will be giving away €2,005 each in cash. And that's not all. On Friday, the 5th of September, on the 9 till noon show, we will be drawing a ticket where one lucky person will win €10,000. So to buy a ticket, you can log on to highlandradio.com, click on the draw link, and you can get one ticket for €15 or five for €50. And you can also give us a call here on 07491 25,000. Our phone lines are open for that draw. We are busy today, but keep trying and give us a call if you want to buy a ticket for that draw over the phone, and you can win €2,500 in cash tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after the news at 10.